about big upsets. 93, man. They were showing the highlights the other day of the David Volek sweet dish from old number 20, Ray Ferraro, on that one.
Yeah, I can't, honestly, guys, I can't think of a bigger upset, really, recently, like since that time. They were the two-time Stanley Cup champions. I think they had won 17 in a row coming into the playoffs, 17 or 18. They just blasted Jersey out of the first round. And here we were, stumbling into the playoffs and making it on the last day or the second last day. And like, if you wrote those lineups on the board, you'd giggle at the comparisons. And yet somehow we won.
So why? I mean, I guess that's what makes playoffs great.
Well, what's that, guys? Sorry.
Well, I guess, why did you guys do it? Like, it's, you know, there's, you know, there's got to be a way, and you're going to pump yourself up, and it was a nice pass, but why did you guys do it? Because you shouldn't have.
Yeah, well, I would say a couple things. One is that they didn't respect us, and before they got to respecting us, the series was 2-2. You know, so then it's a little bit of a crapshoot, right? Like, it's just the best of three. We won the first game. I would say there was a little bit of, it was just our time, you know, like our lucky time, our fortunate time. So I scored a shorthanded goal the first game. I never scored another shorthanded goal in my career. I jumped out of the penalty box. We were two men short. I got a breakaway. Like, you know, when does that happen? Never. Glenn Healy was unbelievable, phenomenal in the series. And, you know, I heard you mention Kasparaitis. Like, he turned that thing a couple of times, that series, a couple of times in Long Island. He turned it on its ear. Like, he would tell us, you know, like, tonight I go after Mario. I get Mario tonight. He'd run him 10 times. Or, oh, tonight I get Jagr. Man, somebody sent me like a 20-minute highlight run of that series. And there's one game, I think it's game, what's got to be game six. Tom Fitzgerald, the general manager of the Devils now, he scored two shorthanded goals on the same penalty. Kasper, he had one shift. He had Mario down. He was punching him in the back of the head. He gets a penalty. The next shift, he takes a run at Jagr. Jagr's lying down. Jason, like, the building was exploding. It was like he turned it into a free-for-all. And that only helped us because we were no way as good a team. And so the more wild the series got, the more it came out of their control. And that's where discipline, as hard as it is in the playoffs, discipline is so critical.
And that's hard, Ray, right? Like, you're an emotional player, right? And I can imagine, like, it's, although you see guys who, like, Tom Wilson all of a sudden's like a choir boy here in the playoffs. He's running guys. The minute someone touches him after the whistle, he turns away. So obviously guys can do it, but it's hard. Did you have to reel yourself in? And was there times early in Ray Ferraro's career in the postseason where, you know, the emotion got the best of you?
Of course. First year we made the playoffs, we were fourth. Quebec was really good. And the series went our way quickly. And the next year, we won the division, and Quebec was fourth. They let it be known they thought they could push us around. So we were going to show them how tough we were. We were in the penalty box the whole series. Their power play, Peter Sasny, he just killed us. I remember that series taking a couple of really stupid penalties. And so you bring up Tom Wilson. He's now at the point where it's easy for him to turn away because he's the toughest guy. The guys that get into penalty trouble that lose their composure are the guys that get swept up in the playoff intensity. And they're the ones, you see guys that never are going to fight, and they're punching guys in the face in a scrum. Like, they're out of their element. They've been taken out of their game. That's the guy you've got to get to and say, just settle down. We need to play that hard right up to the whistle and just keep repeating it. And hopefully they can relax just a little bit because it is hard. Let's say you're in front of the net and, you know, the games mean so much and, you know, I'm in front of the net and Strutty punches me in the nose. There's no penalty because there are no penalties. So I turn around and I punch him back and I get a penalty. Well, he's done his job easy, right? He's just playing hard. Me, I didn't keep my composure. And those are the types of penalties that really, they start to sting you after a while.
Taking a look at the world of NHL with Ray Ferraro. Ray, when you look at this this Jets-Oilers series, it feels like most people have the Oilers winning and the Jets you know, losing it. What is the danger for both sides when you hear that from outside your dressing room?
Well, it depends how serious you take it. Like, I know it's impossible to not pay attention. You're watching SportsCenter. You've got social media. Everybody sees the predictions and what people think may or may not happen. I'd love to be in an underdog. Like, I heard, I think it was Tyler Toffoli saying, who cares? Like, somebody's made us an underdog? Who cares? Like, I like that. There's no pressure. The pressure is when you feel like you're supposed to do something. And if, like, if the Oilers get out and stumble early in this series, they'll feel the pressure. I don't think anybody feels Winnipeg is playing very well. They played the last couple of games fine against a Vancouver team that was, you know, pretty well shutting down. But they struggled to score. They miss Ehlers. Dubois didn't score for 17 games. They look out of sorts. So it would be easy to think you can get the jump on them. But what if the Jets all of a sudden just put together one really good game, and then they get Ehlers back, and then they get Dubois back? All of a sudden, you're in a little bit different spot. The pressure will be there for both teams, but when you're the favorite, I think you feel it a little more. You feel like things should go your way a little more often than they do, because most playoff series are not a straight line. I find this most interesting, guys. So I think the Oilers are going to win in six. That means that they're going to lose, obviously, twice in this series. Just think of how the emotion in Edmonton will climb when they lose a game in this series. They should do this. They should change this line. They should move this on the power play. They should pull this defenseman out. Man, it gets amplified by 10 in the playoffs. But to pick a team to win in six, there's going to be two potholes they step into. And that's where, you know, experience helps, composure helps. You know, the fact that you got the two best players in the series helps. You know, if Mike Smith plays a good series, I think they're going to be in good shape.
Well, Mike Smith, a fun little stat. Out of all goalies in NHL history who have played 25 playoff games, he has the highest save percentage ever at .934. So we'll now.
What about guys that have played 26?
I know. I just used 25 because that's the number he's played. So that was.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just saying. Like, look, you can make it.
Well, I could look
stand,
at it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
but
a good question.
Here's the thing, though. Everybody, it would be hard in a career as long as Mike's to say this is a career year, but it's got to be pretty close. I mean, he's been sensational. I don't have his numbers in front of me. Everybody has a career year, and the year that you're in right now, this is you. It's not last year. It's not next year. It's you now. Like Jack Campbell, I don't know if he's a number one goaltender for the long term, but this year he's 17-3-2. He's got a low goals against average and a high save percentage. This is Jack Campbell now. This is Mike Smith now. And so when he plays another good game, I'm not surprised anymore. This is the year he is in.
Yeah, that's fair. Ray Ferraro joins us. So, Ray, you played in an era at times where there were shadows, right? Steve Kasper, Esa Tikkanen, and other guys did it. if you're Paul Maurice and Connor McDavid has just shredded you for nine games, like it's minimum 2 points a night. Twice he's had three, another time he's had four. Like it's ridiculous. And, you know, and he's been shredding everyone here for the last 6 weeks with, you know, in 14 games, he's had more 3 point games, Ray, in his last 14 games because he's had 3 and 4 points 8 times and he's had 2 points or less 6 times. Like it's mind blowing. Would you consider ever shadowing him? Would that work in today's game or is that just not a possibility for the Jets?
I don't think it would work. The reason it wouldn't work and the reason it did work is back then you could do whatever you wanted. So Steve Kasper, Esa Tikkanen, they would maul whoever they were checking. Triple penalties. None. Trip them, knock them down, punch them in the back of the head, scrum every whistle. Like, you can't do that anymore. And to try and shadow McDavid, you got to be able to skate with him. Mm-hmm. So I think it could be. You could quasi-shadow by basically moving your five guys into the middle of the ice, playing deep. So you're not going to forecheck. You're going to play deep. But the one guy's going to try and get up as tight to McDavid as he can. So when he swings, you're going to try and bump him off stride a little bit. That's what I think would be your best chance at shadowing him. But look at the Jets roster or look at the NHL's roster. Who's skating with him? When he goes back in circles to pick up speed, who's going to – you can say, well, you don't have to skate with him. You can accept him as he comes into the rush. Now, he's going full speed. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's pretty tough. There's no doubt about it. What about as far as Mark
Scheifele?
I think
you try and isolate him. As I just think of this guy, sorry, Shreddy.
Sure. No problem.
I think you try and isolate him. And that's when he goes back and picks up the puck, you basically take everybody else on the ice away, and you have your D staggered so that if he's going to beat one, he's got to beat two. Like, just try and layer and stagger your defense, take away his options. That might be the best you can do.
Ray, what about his Mark Scheifele? It sounds like he's going to get, you know, quite a bit of responsibility against the top two guys, and specifically 97. How does he balance, you know, defending 97, but also he's a big part of their offense?
Well, in my mind, and I feel this the same way with Montreal, is that you can't expect to win by always being the reactive team, by being the defending team. So Mark Scheifele's best defense would be to hold the puck in the offensive zone, to make plays with Wheeler and Connor. That's a very good line. Make McDavid and Draisaitl defend. Because if you're just going to accept that rush, if you're going to accept them coming into your end and try and defend them in the traditional sense, you're cooked. Eventually, they're going to break through.
Ray Ferraro joins us from TSN. Ray, it's interesting. We've seen some of the playoff games already so far. You know, Tampa Bay is up on Florida with their $98 million salary. And Strutty was having
you're
fun.
You're allowed to
Kucherov.
Do it, Jason.
Well, I know you're technically allowed. Yeah,
Boo-hoo.
No, that's fair. You look at Vegas and Minnesota, and Vegas went, you talked about feeling the pressure. Right, like they, and then they scored, and I'm sure it was a huge relief. But like you, I'm starting to see in that game a little frustration from Vegas, and then when they scored, you almost saw like that pressure bubble burst, right? Because it would mean what 90 some minutes without even scoring a goal, 90 plus against them. What do you make of that that Vegas Minnesota series? You surprised it's that close, or were you expecting Minnesota to give them a real run?
No, I don't know that I don't think any series is going to be a blowout, to be honest with you. I think the teams, whether we like the cap or not, and whether it bothers you that Tampa's got a $98 million cap right now, doesn't bother me, because that's the way the rules are. They squeeze teams up. The bottom and the middle are closer to the top than they've ever been. It's been that way for a couple of years, so I didn't think Minnesota was going to get skated out of the game. I think Vegas misses Max Pacioretty a lot. If you remember the way that Vegas struggled in the bubble last year to get by Vancouver, they were getting 50 shots a night. They couldn't score. I think they miss a dominant center. They don't have one. I think they got a lot of really good players. I think they're a very good team that would be hard to handle. But they miss Pacioretty. Pacioretty makes Stone more dangerous. Without him, you know, Stone's not quite as dangerous. They also ran into Cam Talbot, made 20 saves in the first period of game one. You know, sometimes it happens, I guess, but it's I still think Vegas is going to win the series. I think they're a good team.
What about that series between Boston and Washington? Really tight, really tight. Is that, have you seen anything that you've liked from either team that suggests they can get past the other group?
I think Washington is giant. They're like a bunch of mammoth humans out there. They fill up the ice. I think Boston's done a really good job in this series against them so far, but I just think Washington is going to find a way to win, although they're going to start their third different goalie tonight.
Yeah.
And which is just crazy. Three games, three goalies is, I mean, Craig Anderson's out with general 40-year-old body soreness, I think. Yeah, right? And so Samsonov hasn't played since May 1, and he's in. So, I mean, there's a crack in the door for Boston. We'll see what they can do. But I don't see anyone with a great advantage. I just picked Washington to win that series because I like their size. I like their skill that goes with the size.
One last one for you, Ray. How, speaking of you know, your former team, the New York Islanders, how demoralizing is that first goal for a team? Like, you end up losing 2-1, you battle back, but man, like, that's just got to be a throat punch.
It sucks when it goes in. I mean, like, the whole bench, of course, is staring at it, like, what the just happened, right? And then you go play, and you know, you make some good saves and you're back in the game, but really it's, you know, the difference becomes that floater that beats him on the glove. And you have to ditch it. It's probably harder for Varlamov than everybody else. Everybody else is busy worrying about their job. And Varlamov has to get by it, stop the next one, give his team a chance to get back in it. That's where, like, goalies, man, that they're on this island by themselves, and no matter, I can go back there and tap him on the pads and go, hey, don't worry about it. And he knows that I'm thinking, man, it's 1-0 because you couldn't stop a beach ball. Yeah. Right? He knows. And yeah, so yeah. I don't think anybody's, you know, in the business of saying much.
Yeah. Lastly, Ray, who are you picking in the North to come and win this first round between the four teams?
Oh, I've got Toronto and Edmonton.
Toronto and Edmonton.
Yeah, nice. To win.
Could see the Art Ross and the Rocket Richard Trophy winners going head-to-head. It'd be a lot of fun to see. Ray, as always,
I think most people would love to see that. I think that's the series that would excite people the most.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% agreement, for sure. Oh, man, it'd be crazy. The chirps from fan bases online between the two of them would be hilarious, so that'd be a lot of fun, too. Ray, have a good one. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll talk to you next week.
You betcha. Have a good one, guys. See ya.